At noon on KSFR, now looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, July 24th. The chair of the state's Legislative Finance Committee says the Martinez administration should be guiding more money toward state employee pay raises. Representative Lucky Varela wants a 1% increase, noting that the administration isn't spending a significant amount of the monies allocated by the legislature for salaries. Varela says state agencies have in the past shifted those monies to other expenditures or returned them at the end of the fiscal year. State lawmakers this year approved a 1% pay increase, but Varela says the state could up that amount without dipping into reserves. More in today's New Mexican. The Department of Energy has voiced criticism of the Los Alamos National Lab's accounting accuracy of its stores of plutonium. Today's Journal Santa Fe reports that the lab inventoried 98.3% of its weapons-grade nuclear materials, but the DOE wants a full 99% accounting standard. In a department report made public Tuesday, 26 errors were documented. The stringent standards are deemed necessary to thwart acquisition of dangerous materials by terrorists and nations seeking to produce nuclear weapons. LANL has agreed to increase the number of its routine inventories. Tempe, Arizona's First Solar Incorporated, the world's largest builder of solar farms, has announced an agreement with electric utility PNM to build three new power plants in New Mexico. PNM had earlier announced plans to add some 23 megawatts of solar PV in 2014 with new facilities near the greater Albuquerque metro area. First Solar says that pending approval by New Mexico's Public Regulation Commission, the construction of the three solar plants will create 300 new jobs. U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico is sponsoring a bill to reauthorize and fully dedicate funding for the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund. It supports land and water conservation through fee title acquisition or use of easements by federal or state governments. Heinrich believes it's vital to the health of our state's outdoor recreation economy, which generates $6.1 billion annually in consumer spending, sustains 68,000 direct New Mexico jobs, and brings in $458 million in state and local tax revenue. New Mexico's Attorney General has joined 48 of his colleagues nationwide, asking Congress to amend the Federal Communications Decency Act of 1996. Specifically, they ask that the law allow criminal jurisdiction to expand to state and local prosecutors in efforts to combat human trafficking. They cite online classified ad services, such as Backpage.com, that derive millions in income associated with the child sex trade. The original Communications Decency Act was intended to stop juveniles from accessing indecent online materials. The AGs say courts have interpreted certain provisions within the act to provide immunity from prosecution at the state level. Governor Susana Martinez says New Mexico's new 55-mile rule could generate up to $51 million in additional spending here over the next year while creating some 350 new jobs. Mexican tourists who have a laser visa border crossing card can now travel to the southern New Mexico cities of Las Cruces, Mesilla, Deming, and Lordsburg. Prior to this month, visitors from Mexico could only travel 25 miles into our state, putting those towns off limits. Martinez says the border zone extension complements strategic efforts to develop the economy along the southern border. Santa Fe has today been hosting a local edition of a national touring campaign on climate change. City Hall is the scene for various speakers to talk about impacts on the local economy and a trend toward more wildfires. Mayor David Koss, the Santa Fe Fire Department, and businesses comprising the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce all put in appearances as part of the I Will Act on Climate Change event, which is part of President Obama's initiative to explore mitigation of the effects of global warming. A genuine rara avis, that's Latin for rare bird, is causing a frenzy among birdwatchers here in New Mexico. A rufous-necked wood rail has been spotted in the Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge just south of Socorro. Experts say it's the first documented sighting in the United States. Bird enthusiasts have opined the bird's appearance might possibly be due to climate change, as its natural habitat is tropical or subtropical forests in Central and South America. And weather for Santa Fe, partly sunny through midday with highs near 85 degrees. Later, precipitation is likely, says meteorologist Brian Geyer with the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque.
There is a significant amount of moisture in place across New Mexico, and there's also a weak upper-level disturbance that's going to move north across the state throughout the day. And that will allow for numerous showers and thunderstorms to develop over the higher terrain. And then that will spread north towards the Santa Fe area as we go into the evening hours. And there is potential for some locally heavy rainfall and then even just a large area of rain to continue for the Santa Fe area during the overnight hours.
Partly sunny Thursday, a high in the mid-80s, and a 40% chance for afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature, now 84 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from Naropa University, with degrees in the expressive arts including art therapy, dance therapy, body psychotherapy, wilderness therapy, and more. Learn more online at naropa.edu.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Reporter, providing local news and arts and entertainment information to more than 60,000 readers each week. The Reporter is available every Wednesday at over 300 locations in Santa Fe and the surrounding area, and on the web at sfreporter.com.
At noon on KSFR, now segues to today's feature stories. One major barrier to good health care delivery in New Mexico has always been the fact that a large portion of our population lives in rural areas, which have limited availability to providers. Specialty care in such areas is particularly lacking. Now, a program at UNM is allowing specialists from larger facilities to consult with doctors in small towns. Dr. Howard Yonis is the chairman of the Department of Neurological Surgery at the University of New Mexico, and he joins us now. Dr. Yonis, tell us about this program.
I've been here about 8 years, and we've been working toward this goal. And it's an important goal to reach out and be present in emergency rooms and throughout the state. As you know, there are many doctors in remote places throughout the state seeing patients with complicated problems who might want to talk with, quote, the expert, might want to have the expert at the university who knows a whole lot about neurosurgical problems or stroke problems look at the films, talk to the patient, examine the patient. And with this new system, we can do all of that. We can look at the patient, talk with the patient. The patient can see us. We can have a conversation. And then we can look at all the information that the doctor has locally, and then we can make the best recommendation as to what's going on and what is the next best step. And so we can actively participate, just as if we were sitting in that emergency room helping care for the person.
It would seem, with recent advances in technology, the cost for the needed equipment would not be too expensive.
Well, that's exactly where we've come to. This technology to be able to see the patient, talk with the patient, was expensive and was pretty demanding even just a few years ago. Recently, there's a company here in Albuquerque, Net Medical Express, New Mexico Software is their other company title. We've been working with them just sending films, and then they have advanced this technology with their own people and their research staff to really make this a elegant, quick, easy technology where the technology is no longer the barrier. The technology costs are relatively small. Systems are very flexible. The doctor can be driving in his car, get a call, pull off to the side, bring up his iPad, hook up to a modem, do the consult anywhere. He doesn't have to be sitting in his office with a big computer. So this is a very flexible doctor and patient-friendly technology, which is really a tribute to some of our own, one of our own companies right here in the state.
How many facilities in our state have this capability?
It's up and running in about 13 hospitals right now. I'd love to be in every one. I'd love to be from north, south, east, and west. So even though patients might proximity go to Texas for care, we can still help consult with the doctors, the emergency rooms, anywhere.
Dr. Yonis, in addition to neurosurgery, what other specialties might utilize this technology?
As a neurosurgeon, I'm focusing more on the neurosurgical stuff, the hemorrhages, the trauma, aneurysms, and my colleagues, my neurology colleagues that are here as part of the team, under Dr. Rosenberg and Dr. Huisa, our stroke specialists are helping as that part of the team. So we have a whole team of people looking at the whole breadth of kinds of problems. Just a very obvious next extension, one of my colleagues, Dr. Marinero, who's the head of critical care, is talking now with a half dozen hospitals about having our expert critical care doctors cover the intensive care units of little hospitals throughout the state. Because often there's no one or someone with little experience, relatively little experience, caring for somebody that's in the hospital who might have just had a heart attack or might have various other problems. So here's another kind of a service where the critical care people here can be looking at patients in intensive care beds throughout the state as well. So there's no end to this. There's no end to the ability to reach out, communicate, and share the expertise. And there's really very good people here to be able to share that expertise with doctors and patients throughout the state. I think it's a tremendous step forward.
And Dr. Yonas, any other thoughts on the issue?
The concept of telestroke, teleneurology, telemedicine is really spread rapidly across the United States. In many ways, New Mexico is one of the later states to come to play the game. And yet it's one of the states that needs it the most because we have the most number of little hospitals scattered far and wide. And so it's very timely. Becoming a reality, I think, had to do with getting the technology inexpensive enough that everybody could afford it.
Dr. Howard Yonas of UNM, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Pueblo of Tesuque Flea Market, the flea for over 20 years, hosting local and international vendors dealing in everything from handcrafted imports and old pawn jewelry to specialty foods and garage sale finds. Located at 15 Flea Market Road in Santa Fe, right next to the Opera, the Tesuque Flea is open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from March through December. For more info, email seetheflea@yahoo.com or visit online at tesuquefleamarket.com.
16 minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom. New Mexico Attorney General Gary King is attending the Western AG's meeting in Colorado Springs this week, and he's now taking a few minutes away from that meeting to speak with us about some important issues here in New Mexico. Mr. King, you feel that there are some significant legal questions about the operation of that horse slaughterhouse planning to open in southern New Mexico, correct?
Well, we recently filed a motion to intervene in a court case that was brought by a number of organizations. We're joining them in the argument that the USDA needs to take account of all of the environmental issues that are necessary before they can take a major federal action, which in this case would be permitting the horse slaughter plant in Roswell, plus some in some other states, I believe. And we think that it's important that they go through all the steps and make sure that they're doing everything that they're required to do before they permit the plan.
I believe one of your concerns has to do with drugs used in these horses prior to slaughter.
Well, we certainly have raised the issue from a state perspective in an opinion that we issued that because we do not allow the eating of horses in this country or the consumption of horse meat, that horses are not raised in the same way that cattle and pigs and other food animals are raised, and therefore horses often are treated with drugs that are harmful to human health, most notably one called Bute that's used in the racehorse industry and other places too as an anti-inflammatory agent. And so certainly horses that are treated with those drugs would not be suitable for human consumption. We don't allow the consumption of horse meat in the U.S. anyway, and I think that the plan here was to ship the horse meat to other countries, but we have a law in New Mexico that says that it's illegal even to manufacture or produce foods that are not safe for human consumption. So we have concerns that, depending on how the plant's operated, that they might run afoul of the New Mexico Food Safety Act as well. That's a little bit different issue than the one in the lawsuit, but it's certainly something that we're concerned about.
Are there changes that the plant could make in its day-to-day operations that would make you more comfortable with its operations?
Well, I'm personally opposed to the slaughter of horses for human consumption, so I don't think that it's a good idea from a personal point of view. I think as the Attorney General, it's our job to make sure that should the plant be operational, that they conform with all of our laws, and we think that would be very difficult for them to conform with the laws under any mode of operation. So I think that so far that they have indicated that they're not concerned about the laws in the state of New Mexico, and as the Attorney General, that approach actually is not one that I think is a good approach.
Any other issues with the horse slaughter facility?
Well, I am under the impression that they have yet to receive a water discharge permit from the state of New Mexico, too. Now, that's not within my purview, so that can change from day to day. But obviously, we have our own environmental protection laws in New Mexico. And so, you know, anybody that operates that has water discharge, and I think that a slaughter plant would, is also required to meet our discharge standards for water. So there are a number of issues that I think really need to be resolved. And so this push to move ahead, you know, without showing that all of those issues have been resolved is something that we're really concerned about in the AG's office, and we intend to make sure that that all of our laws are complied with.
And what is the next step with Valley Meat Company's horse meat plant?
Well, it's my understanding that the court has set a hearing for August the 2nd, so I think that there'll be hearings on the USDA issue fairly expeditiously. And, you know, everybody will have a chance to make their arguments. I don't know how long it'll take the judge after they hear the arguments to make a decision, but I expect that a decision in the federal court case will be imminent. So once that's completed, then we'll decide where to go next.
And, Mr. King, in recent days, we've also heard from you some concerns about the legality of a ban on same-sex marriage here in New Mexico. Can you speak to that for us, please?
Shortly after the United States Supreme Court issued their opinions, there was a case that was filed in Santa Fe in the Supreme Court asking the Supreme Court to issue a writ of mandamus, which would direct the county clerk in Santa Fe County and potentially in other counties to go ahead and issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And so in that case, the Supreme Court asked our office to brief them on what we think the current status of New Mexico law is. And so we essentially gave them the same information, but in much more depth than we did a month or so ago when we talked about this issue, which is to point out that we think that statutorily that same-sex marriage is not allowed in New Mexico right now, but that we believe that statutory scheme violates the Equal Protection Clause of our Constitution. And we went to great depth to explain why that would apply. And so, you know, we hope that will inform the court as they make their decision on whether or not to allow same-sex marriage in New Mexico.
And anything else you'd like to add?
I'm headed off to participate with my fellow Western AGs to talk about issues that we've been working on this week. We've been talking a lot about federal land issues and environmental issues, and we're actually going to be talking about issues that we deal with that fall in the area of the interaction of animal rights groups with the agricultural industry. Obviously, we have a strong agricultural industry in the West, and so, you know, we're all a lot stronger when we work together and share our good experiences and our bad experiences. So I'm always happy to be meeting with my fellow attorneys general.
Gary King, Attorney General for New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Viome conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
1223 here at KSFR, taking a look at the downtown Santa Fe temperature. It now stands at 84 degrees, close to its projected high of 85 for the day. The Weather Service is advising there's a 60% chance of precipitation this evening, which includes possible bouts of heavy rain and general overnight precipitation. There's a special event mixing music and environmental stewardship at the Plaza tonight. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard joins us now to file this report.
During the summer, there are numerous events planned at the bandstand on the Plaza in Santa Fe. Tonight, July 24th, the program will not only feature great local entertainment, but will benefit the environment as well. Cindy Padilla is a division director for the Environmental Services Division of the City of Santa Fe.
We're real excited about being, one, a part of Bandstand. I mean, Bandstand is such a popular event now for locals here in Santa Fe. It's getting people back to the Plaza and, you know, just enjoying the things that we all love about Santa Fe. And tonight, the Public Utilities Department, which is the Environmental Services, which is Solid Waste, Recycling, Sustainable Santa Fe, and Keep Santa Fe Beautiful programs, the Wastewater Division, which is, you know, our sewer and water quality, and our Water Division, which obviously is water quality, water conservation, we're sponsoring the program tonight for Environmental Stewardship Night, really promoting the importance and the value of the individual stewardship as we protect our fragile environment. So we have great entertainment. Montanatus is playing, and they're a local favorite. People love them. Baile Español, which is, you know, all of our children dancing, our youngsters in Santa Fe, as we, you know, not only celebrate our environment, we're able to celebrate our culture. So it should be a fun night. We hope people can come out and join us. I've gone to Bandstand several times. I enjoy it, personally. And I know the entertainment's going to be great. It's definitely a local band. I mean, so we're looking for, you know, a couple of thousand people, and the plaza gets pretty full. It's kind of like Old Home Week, too. You know, I mean, every time you turn around, you see somebody that you haven't seen in a while. So we're hoping that a lot of people will come out and join us.
In addition to music and dancing, there'll be lots of information on saving our environment.
You know, we're going to have a table out, and we're going to be delivering residential recycling bins. So people that have curbside service here in the city of Santa Fe can pick up a recycling bin or two if they've been destroyed or lost, or maybe they're just not really participating in our program and they just need to be a city resident and have service curbside, and you can pick up a recycling bin. But we're going to have a lot of other information on water conservation, on, you know, other about recycling, commercial recycling. We really want to get our businesses recycling. Talking about sustainable Santa Fe and looking at, you know, what makes a community sustainable. I mean, it's about environmental protection, but it's also about economic health and making smart decisions as we plan our future and looking at social justice and all of the things that make our community sustainable and keeps people here. Keep Santa Fe Beautiful will be there, you know, as we talk about, you know, they have some great programs. We have a fall cleanup coming up in September. Want to get volunteers signed up for that. We have information on Adopt a Median. People can adopt medians and really participate. We'll have information on our wastewater composting program. We're out of compost right now, but we should have some more in the fall. And so we're also going to be partnering with the Master Gardeners. They're going to be joining us, and they're going to have some information on composting and, you know, really talking about personal stewardship for the environment and, you know, getting involved in protecting all that we love in Santa Fe. So it's going to be, we'll have a lot of things going on there tonight.
This is the first year that the Environmental Services Department has been part of this event.
We table a lot. We try to get information out at different events. You know, we're out for Community Day, and we'll be out for Girls Inc. We're out for Fiesta. You know, so we do a lot of with pancake breakfast, try to get out, you know, where the people are. But this is the first time we're doing Bandstand and sponsored a night. And, you know, it's really, again, like I said, Bandstand has really brought locals back to the plaza, and, you know, and we just wanted to be a part of it.
There is no charge to attend.
At the event, it's free music on the plaza all summer long, compliments of Santa Fe Bandstand, and we sponsor the night. You know, if you look at the program, a lot of different businesses and organizations in Santa Fe sponsor the evenings and sponsor the music, so it's free to the public.
Cindy Padilla with the City of Santa Fe.
one of the things that's the most important about environmental stewardship is that it's not just one night. It's something that we, it's a lifetime, you know. It's something that we commit to our life if we want to keep Santa Fe a sustainable community. And everybody needs to get involved. It's all about the people here and the things that we do.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:30 in Santa Fe. Here at KSFR, it's a bottom-of-the-hour tradition to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I once said that the greatest job in the world would be Guy Fieri's as the host of the Food Channel's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I think the second greatest job in the world would be the person who thinks up original movie ideas and their titles for the Sci-Fi Channel. I swear that whoever the people are who do that must be force-fed hallucinogenic mushrooms gathered from some remote mountaintop in Florida. But here are a few original sci-fi movie titles with their seemingly fallen from grace stars. Dino Croc vs. Sharktopus, starring Eric Roberts. Piranaconda, starring Michael Madsen. Super Gator, starring David Carradine in his last movie role before his big oops. And then there's the fine actor John Hurt, who must have had pressing financial obligations, starring in Sharknado, like Tornado and like Sharks. Something's fishy. Oh, great. It's the next night, and ABC World News just did a bit on Sharknado. Come on, guys, get your own pond. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.